Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. Kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's strong in presentations. Over and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
Hey, what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, holding it down today. Lon out today and tomorrow. He will be back on Thursday. We're going to talk some baseball, and I'm a little excited to get into this playoff chase, the last week of the regular season. Kyle, I think, a little bit more nervous. He's also, this is like the Kyle Tosk flu game. He doesn't have the flu. I think he's got just a little bit of a cold. But I don't know if he's like, trying to milk it to show, hey, you know, I might dip out the end of the week, just hunker down in the Cubs bunker as their season is on the line. But I do.
I'm battling through some adversity, just like the Cubs are going to have to do as they go to Atlanta to try to salvage their playoff hopes. I'm trying to set the tone here for the Cubs this week.
Let's just hope this is the most sick that you get, because I think squandering away a wild card spot would make you even worse.
Yes, it
and,
would.
And the tension that will build this week, or could potentially build, could turn your stomach and make you a little sweaty if you're a Cubs fan out there. I'm excited, though, to dive into some really meaningful baseball. And that's where we're going to start today. As we go along, we'll talk some NFL Week 3. We will roll through the slate. Just kind of what stood out as far as the NFL this past week. We can talk about the Monday Night Football games last night. The Eagles taking down the Bucks in Tampa, Cincinnati finally getting on the board with a win over the LA Rams, and everything else that went down in Week 3. We will hear from Aaron Henry and also Barry Lenny Jr., who spoke to the media yesterday. Want to get you a couple of clips from the coordinators coming off of the game against Florida Atlantic and going into a big one in West Lafayette coming up on Saturday. Caden Fagan also met with the media today. I think we're going to play that tomorrow. We'll also try to get you a Purdue expert tomorrow as well to break down the Boilers. We will not have a show on Thursday due to Cardinals baseball. Yes, they still have a team. Yes, they're still playing for one more week.
It's the last time, though, that they're going to cut off our show. So
it's true. So cheers to that. Kyle's actually going to have to probably cheer for the Cardinals.
I am.
Unless the Reds just decide to tank it in Cleveland to start out the week. But you might need a couple of wins from the Birds just to make sure that the Reds don't be a factor at all down the stretch.
Yeah, it might need that. I'm not as concerned about the Reds. They've really, I mean, talk about the Cubs squandering away their chance. The Reds have done the same thing. They've been terrible the last week. Now they're 2.5 back. So if they lose once the next two nights against the Cleveland Guardians, the Cardinals may not even need to do much.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I don't think the Cardinals really plan on doing anything.
If you take one of three, that should probably keep them out.
There you go. There you go. The Cardinals really just have a concert for Waino. They might bat him in one of these games.
Imagine that if he comes up there and hits a bomb to send the Reds out of the playoffs. That's a great way to end your career.
They might as well send him to the plate. I know that I was a little lukewarm on it, and he's like, does he really need to do that? But the Cardinals aren't playing any meaningful baseball. And whether you're going to be on the wrong side of a big deficit, you're going to be up. Just you can find some non-consequential at bat to throw him out there. And I was going through some of the stats in terms of the MLB over the last 2 weeks to kind of get some context for some of these relevant teams. And if you go down to OPS for the last 2 weeks and scroll all the way to the bottom, the Cardinals have the lowest OPS in baseball the last 2 weeks. Yes, worse than the A's, worse than the White Sox, worse than any other team that you can name in the Major League Baseball. But we'll stop talking about teams that are completely out of it, and let's talk about one that's very much in the thick of it. The Cubs in Atlanta tonight to begin the three-game set. Justin Steele is on the hill. Going to need a better Justin Steele than what we've seen the last two times out. I think 12 earned runs combined over his last two outings, but a guy that's been the Cubs' best pitcher over the full course of the season. Bryce Edler on the hill for the Braves. He was an all-star, but really post-all-star break, he's not pitched all that well. His ERA after the break has pretty much been in the five range. So you get him. I think Max Fried, although not listed currently, I went on MLB and also ESPN and haven't seen listed starters for the Braves.
I believe the Braves said that Fried is dealing with a minor ailment, so they're not going to pitch him this week. So,
and Charlie Morton just went
Charlie
to the
Morton
IL, too.
Went to the IL. So the Cubs, see, the issue is they're not facing the top three because I don't think Strider's pitching in the series
either.
He just
pitched Sunday, so you're good.
But then you look at the lineup, and it's like, hey, Braves, you guys are firmly the one seed in the NL. Acuna's got his MVP locked up. Let's just give some guys a break heading into the playoffs. Nope, every starter's in the lineup tonight. So
I think
might
all
not
they,
matter.
Yeah, all they have to do is win maybe one or two to secure that one spot.
Yeah.
I think the Dodgers are maybe four, maybe five games
four
back. So, of course, it would take Atlanta losing out the rest of this week. L.A. winning six in a row, which is mathematically still possible, but I'm sure that they're trying to get maybe two of those earlier in the week. Cubs fans don't want that. And then having no sweat at all during the final stretch of the series, because because the ability to play with home field advantage, especially if the Braves or the Dodgers were to get to the NLCS, would be a pretty big deal. But what do you think of it will be interesting then if Freed's not going to pitch tomorrow and then no Morton the following day. Like you said, that lineup is still a big challenge. And it's the way it stacks up for the Cubs. It's Steele, then Jameson Taillon, and then Marcus Stroman in his second start since being back from his injury to close out the series. How do you think this, in terms of the Cubs' perspective, lines up with the rotation and just the way they're playing going into the series?
Not great, to be honest. I mean, I got to see it from Steele tonight because the last two times out, he really just hasn't looked good. And there was, you know, some talk about how, listen, this is a guy that's career high in innings was like 122, and now he's at 170. And is he going to run out of gas at the end of the year? He's been so good every time out. I mean, there was a stretch there where every time he took the ball, he was putting zeros or ones on the board and giving the Cubs a chance to win. And now you start getting 50 innings past your career mark, and is he running out of gas? It's definitely a concern that's in the back of my mind, and it's not a spot where you know you're getting any relief in terms of trying to get back on track. You got to face that Braves lineup in Atlanta, so it's a tough spot for him. I'm not as confident with him taking the ball as I have been in the past, just the way he's pitched. Obviously, Taillon against the Braves lineup terrifies me, even though he has put together a decent second half of the season. And then Marcus Stroman, it feels like the Cubs kind of rushed him off the IL a little bit. Like he was in an interview like, I've been working my butt off. I've been trying to beat every timeline to try and pitch for this team as we try to get close to the playoffs. And I love that he says that, but he's looked pretty shaky since he's come off the IL for the most part. And that start he made over the weekend gave up like three runs in three innings. And so I don't know. I mean, it's all about that. When you look at it, yeah, you're avoiding the top Brave starters, but it's really all about how much can you hold that lineup down? Because with the way the Cubs lineup has been going along here the last 2 weeks, I don't expect that they're just going to, Strider and Fried aren't pitching, so the Cubs will put up seven runs. No, that's not the way it's been going for them. They're going to need to hold the Braves down. I don't have a ton of confidence in the way they've pitched here. And they just haven't played all that well. It was nice to see them get the sweep over the Rockies this weekend, which they had to have. But even in that series, they squeaked out two of the three wins really close and tight late and didn't score a ton off some really bad Rockies pitching. They're just not playing well at the wrong time, and it's not getting any easier this week. So I don't honestly feel all that great about it, but I hope that they're able to surprise me. And they felt that urgency before the trade deadline when it was like, up, the Cubs are about to sell unless they get really hot right now and force the front office to keep this group together. Well, they did it, and they rattled off like 8 in a row. And now is another situation where the urgency is there. Maybe they'll come together and get hot here for this last week.
I'll give you one sign of encouragement, and that being the last time the Cubs faced Bryce Elder. They put up 5 in the first inning, yep. Tagged him pretty good. They won 8-6 there in Chicago, and that was back in early August. I did want to follow up you talking about Justin Steele. Has there been something in terms of the telltale stats or indicators that he might be wearing down? Is it velo? Is it walks? Or is it just a guy that's getting hit far more than he did earlier in the season?
It's not really velo. He actually had some of his season best velocity on his fastball, which is the interesting thing. It's really just the command. He's leaving way too many pitches over the plate. Like, that was, you know, this is a guy that's not throwing 100. He only has 2 pitches. I mean, he's already kind of a unicorn in the way that he dominates without having the profile of a guy that you'd think is going to be an NL Cy Young candidate. But really, that was just because he had such great command of both the fastball and the slider. And he did a lot of different things with them and against lefties and righties, and that's what made him so effective. And recently, he's just leaving everything over the plate and getting crushed. I mean, it's not that he's walked a bunch of guys. It's not that his velocity's down. It's just that way too many pitches are over the heart of the plate, and he's getting hit around. I think he gave up 8 hits against the Pirates in his last start, and then the start before that against the D-backs, he gave up 8 or 9 hits. So he's... That's the issue for him, and it's definitely a concern. But I have some trust in him still that he, you know, in the biggest game, I think he's that type of bulldog that's going to go out there and just battle. But it has been concerning just watching him. It seems like he has run out of gas just a little bit, and you can't really fault him because he's been so good and so consistent.
I know sometimes you can, like, overlook for trends. Like, I do it, especially as somebody that likes to dabble in some sports betting. But Jameson Taillon, when you look at his home road splits, are significant. Boy. But it's interesting. Like, the flip side of that is I'm on his ESPN page right now. He is, if you want to go, how about day-night splits, Kyle?
I haven't seen this.
He's made 14 starts during the day and 14 starts at night. I will let you know tomorrow night they play at 6 p.m., his day ERA 6.25. He's 2-7. His night ERA 3.99. He's 6-3. You guys are golden, except for the fact he's pitching on the road where he has nearly a 6 ERA.
Yeah.
And if you look at some of his recent starts at Colorado, 3 earned, not too bad. At Cincinnati before that, 5. At Detroit, 4. At Toronto, 8. And some of his better starts are at home recently. Like, he threw 6 shutout innings against Colorado over the weekend at Wrigley. Pitched well against Arizona before that. Wrigley had 9 Ks and 6 innings, only gave 1 hit. So I might be overanalyzing this thing, but the stats say that on the road he's not been great. But, hey, the game's at night.
Yeah. There hasn't been a single start this year. And give him credit, he has had – more very good outings in the second half after a disastrous first half, but there hasn't been one time he's taken the ball for the Cubs this year where I've been like, oh yeah, let's go Taillon tonight. We're golden. Not one time. And he's in his like 31st start of the year or something. So I'm not going to hold my breath on that one. Hopefully the Cubs can score tomorrow night over TBD. Braves haven't announced a starter. Hopefully it's a Triple-A call-up and the Cubs can maybe try to make it a shootout, because I'm not going to go in that thinking Taillon's holding that lineup down.
Maybe they'll bring like Tom Glavine or Greg Maddux out of the booth and let one of those guys start. I don't know if you want Maddux throwing, but...
Yeah, I mean, if Maddux came out of the booth today against the Cubs lineup, they'd probably get shut out. I mean, based on what they've done the last couple weeks, if he's locating, the Cubs don't have a chance.
I do want to ask you about Stroman. What did you see in his start over the weekend? 3 innings.
I didn't see it because I was watching Illinois football play.
Oh, there you
go.
His stat line wasn't great.
I went back and looked a little bit at it. It just seemed like, I from what I saw, he had a really shaky second inning. He pitched 3 innings. They knew he wasn't going to go super long because, like I said, they kind of rushed him off the IL. He is not fully stretched out. But it seemed like he really just kind of lost his command in the second inning of that start, got hit around a little bit. I think there was kind of a blooper that got down that really broke the inning open, but he was also walked 2 guys. And so I don't know. It just, and he had a couple outings out of the bullpen before that where he looked okay, but he just he still looks way different than the guy that was so good for those first 2 months, where that sinker, the location on that sinker was just perfect, where he was getting that pitch down, down, down. Guys were chopping it into the ground, was working the slider off that. It just, he doesn't look like he's that sharp, and it's that's still concerning. But I do think that if he can round into form here, I think that there's a chance that he, you know, as he has pitched 3-4 times now since coming off the IL and is in more of a starter's routine again, there's always that hope that, hey, that this is a guy that was an NL Cy Young candidate for 2.5 months of the season. If he can just find that for a couple weeks here this week and hopefully in a playoff start next week, then that could be really huge, because the Cubs need a veteran to hand the ball to, because beyond Justin Steele, who himself has kind of fallen off a little bit, like, you just don't totally have that.
I'll reference back to the last 2 weeks' stats in terms of OPS. Over the last 2 weeks, nobody has a higher OPS than the Atlanta Braves. You could probably plug in any kind of sample size.
Yeah,
any sample size for this season. Atlanta Braves would have the highest OPS. They also have the highest OPS against lefties of anybody in the league. So that is going to be a challenge for Justin Steele tonight, when you're going to see the likes of Acuna. Ozuna's had a heck of a second half. We know that Austin Riley's in that lineup. I'm sure that Matt Olson is still a big threat for lefties, even though he's...
Sean Murphy's hitting eighth tonight for the Braves.
Man.
That should just tell you all you need to know.
Yikes. Cubs, though, last 2 weeks, third in OPS, although...
Oh, wow.
That might be a little skewed based on... That's kind of seemed like the Cubs' MO at times. And look, there have been stretches where they've been very productive over a couple of weeks or what have you, but some of the Cubs, I think, personality in terms of their offense is... When they have it going, they can put 13, 14 runs up, but then there will be low points where they might not score for a couple of days.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been the most hot and cold offense there's been, because, yeah, there was that stretch in May where they were terrible, and you were asking me about the Cubs on the show. I'm like, they're done. And that's because they couldn't score a run. Then you go on that stretch in July and August where they're putting up 60 runs in a 3-game series against the Reds or whatever that crazy total was. And now you get into September, and other than, I think that's really skewed by that Pirates series where they put up 14 one night, 7 the other, and 6 the other, and they lost 2 of those games. Of course they did. But other than that, they just, the at-bats haven't been good, and they just, it seems like everybody slumps at the same time on this team, which is, I know it's not really true, it's more in your head than it is actually true, but it just feels that way when it seems like, especially like when Bellinger's not hitting, when Swanson's not hitting, as they haven't been the last couple weeks, and that carries over to these other guys, and it's tough. When they're cold, they're bad, but when they're good, they could be one of the most dangerous lineups. They need to be that top of the top group that they were back in August here this last week.
On the other side of the break we're about to take, I want to zoom out a little bit more and look at the rest of the playoff picture as it relates to the NL wild card. The AL wild card is also a chase and a big race in the AL West in particular. You got Houston battling Seattle there on the Pacific Northwest here for a series. And also after that, then Texas is going to go out there as well. Texas currently has the lead in the AL West, and then also you have the Astros holding on right now to the final wild card spot in the AL, and Seattle just behind them as they battle that thing out the rest of this week. I want to pitch this to Kyle and also the text line, because I know we got a number of Cubs fans out there. The last kind of thought as the nitty-gritty take on the Cubs as they go into this series in Atlanta, and then we can also – I got some thoughts on the Milwaukee series too as you look ahead. Where's the psyche at for Cubs fans going into this week? I know you're discouraged about some of the recent indicators, just how they've looked, but I think kind of big picture, Cubs fans going into the year didn't have a whole lot of expectations, should have been excited, and were rightfully so, about the Swanson addition, about having Stroman and Steele, wanting to just kind of roll the dice on Bellinger, and knew that if you got the best version of him, which you've gotten, or even some kind of decent to good version of him, he'd be a pretty nice addition to that outfield. But no one, like, nationally was really considering them as a contender for a playoff spot. It was the Cardinals and the Brewers at the top of the division. And just the way it shook out, the Cubs have really been in this thing for the last couple of months. So where are you at going into this week in terms of, like, how much emotionally is on the line for you as a Cubs fan and what kind of you're expecting. Because I think as you've talked about, I'm sure a lot of Cubs fans would agree that if the Cubs get in the playoffs, you're probably not expecting to go all that far. But let's not, even as a Cardinals fan who sits here and complains all the time about the lack of playoff series victories that the Cardinals have over the last 10 years, just getting to the postseason and having playoff baseball to watch is quite a thrill. So that's a big thing to chase for this team. So I'll shut up and let you talk. How are you feeling and how much is on the line in terms of a Cubs fan's emotion going into this week?
Yeah, it's tough because I think you're absolutely right in the fact that if you told me back in March that come the last week of September, the Chicago Cubs would be in a National League postseason spot, I would have been overjoyed at that. I mean, I would have been totally taken that, and I think it would have been like, oh, what a successful year this was for the Cubs. What a great step forward this was for the Cubs. Didn't necessarily expect it, but that's huge. It's really just I think you can have that perspective, that big picture perspective, while also being very frustrated at the fact that 2 weeks ago today, basically, they were firmly in the postseason. They had like a 4-game lead on the wild card. It would have taken a pretty big collapse for them to not make the postseason. And that pretty big collapse has kind of happened over the last 2 weeks. And that just as a fan of a group that you've now become invested in after they fought off the fire sale at the trade deadline and they went on that big run and they went out and got Candelario and a couple relievers. And it's like, oh, here we go. The Cubs are this fun team that's red hot. And here they come. They're going to make the postseason now. And to have that right in front of you now, if you do, pretty much give it away. I mean, no one took this playoff spot from the Cubs if they don't get it. They gave it away by playing really poorly the last 3 weeks of the month of September. That would be very frustrating for me. I'm not saying that if they go this week and two really good teams in Atlanta and Milwaukee beat them and they miss the playoffs, that what a failure of a season, what a total disaster of a season. No one can be happy about this Cubs season. No, I think big picture, you're absolutely right. It was really awesome to be playing these meaningful games and talking about these meaningful games the last week of September. But at the same time, I think it's more than acceptable to be very frustrated. Should they miss the playoffs? Should they not have a playoff series to prepare for next week? The fact that it was right there for them, they were firmly in that spot just a couple weeks ago, and then they kind of collapsed there at the end of the season after they went and they kept Cody Bellinger and they kept Marcus Stroman and they went out and got a guy like Candelaria. I know he's been hurt here recently. To not make the playoffs would leave a sour taste in your mouth, even after all that, while also considering the fact that, yes, it was a nice step forward and there's still a bright future ahead here for this team.
That's well said. What say you on the U of I Atlanta League text line, 217-359-2255. Hit us up and let me know your thoughts, all Cubs fans out there. If you're a Cardinals fan and you want to talk some Cubs, I don't care to talk Cardinals if you sorry, but that's just kind of the way I feel. I'm excited to watch some meaningful baseball, and I'm a little jealous that my team isn't going to be part of that as we kind of get in that in-between, just waiting for the next football Saturday and Sunday. Well, not as much Sundays for the Bears reasons, but for every other game to watch on TV. We're due for a break. Hit us up again, 217-359-2255. We'll be back to talk the rest of the playoff picture going into the final week of the MLB regular season. This is The Drive.
As Tapman's Towing celebrates 50 years of serving Central Illinois, we're always seeking good people to serve our great customers. Our team of expert tow professionals would like to interview others with CDLs, previous tow experience, or a strong interest in serving others. If you enjoy serving people, love working in the outdoors, and looking for a career, not just a job, we should talk soon. Do you have a strong desire but lack the experience? We should still talk. Visit our career page at tapmanstowing.com.
At Busey Bank, we're proud to serve our local community through financial guidance and community investment. Offering sound advice and actionable insight, Busey builds financial strength, supports homeownership dreams, and offers customized lending strategies, connecting with our neighbors to build stronger communities. UC Bank, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini.
The Champaign Park District has some terrific fall events to jot down on your day planner. Flannel Fest will be in downtown Champaign in Westside Park from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. October 14th and 15th with music, a mustache contest, and lumberjack show. The Great Pumpkin Hunt has you looking for small painted rocks in area parks throughout the month of October. On Wednesday, October 25th at Marketplace Mall between 5 and 7 p.m., enjoy the free Halloween Fun Fest. Learn more at champagneparks.com.
Illini fans, gear up for the football season this year with the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Get ready to support your Fighting Illini by shopping their great selection of Illini football merchandise, including t-shirts, sweatshirts, even brand new Nike replica jerseys. Shop with them at the corner of Neal and Kirby in Champaign, 6th and Green in Campus Town, or online 24/7 at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fans shop.
Crossroads Contractor Supply specializes in the delivery of tools and supplies within a 150-mile radius of Champaign-Urbana. Reliable, timely, and with reasonable prices, Crossroads Contractor Supply knows what equipment and tools are needed for your job. Their slogan, "We have it when you need it." Get the job done right with proper tools and equipment. Did something break? Construction materials as well as safety equipment all available. Call 402-8123. Visit Crossroads Contractor Supply IL.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lante and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Let's zoom out and hit you with the entire MLB playoff picture as it stands today. Still a full week of baseball. Well, not an entire full week, but six games left for the Cubs and two series essentially for everyone out there as they go through this final stretch. And we will know what that postseason picture looks like for next week. Some playoff baseball. That's pretty exciting. Big Def weighing in. I know that he's a Phillies fan. He's out there on the East Coast. Says rooting like heck for the Cubs to make it just so I don't have to hear David Ross get all smug and give us your welcome for his Dancing with the Stars stint from the booth. Kyle, any comments on David Ross or his Dancing with the Stars?
Nothing on Dancing with the Stars. I have a few comments on him as the manager of the team, but I'll save those to see how this week plays out.
There you go. That's a fair stance as we go. So really, Kyle, on the flip side of, and I get this is going to bring some angst here for Cubs fans. You look at the teams that they have to face this final week. Let's start with Miami. Miami's one game back of the Cubs. Really two consecutive weekends recently that were huge for Miami. This past weekend, they took 2 of 3 against the Brewers. The previous weekend, they swept Atlanta there in Miami. Those were huge for them in this chase. This week, they get the Mets on the road and the Pirates on the road. What do you think of, of this Miami team? That's pretty favorable for the most part, especially finishing up in Pittsburgh. What do you think about the Marlins' chances?
Yeah, I don't I knew that, you know, we knew looking at the end of these schedules that the Cubs are going to have by far the hardest path. That's why you wanted to have more separation than they have one game. I don't necessarily think that's a cakewalk for the Marlins. You go to New York. The Mets have actually been decent this month, even though they kind of have given up. And they're going to face Senga in one of those games, who's had a heck of a year. Really tough matchup for them. And then the Pirates have been just kind of feisty here lately. I mean, they've played pretty good baseball. I mean, they come into Wrigley, get 2 of 3. Did they sweep the Reds, or did they get like 3 of 4 against them or something? Or maybe they only played 3 times. They won a couple games against the Reds at least over the weekend. And so, I mean, that's not an easy task either. I know they don't have much on the in the pitching department, but their lineup of some younger guys has kind of had some energy here lately. So it's not a cakewalk. It's definitely favorable. It's definitely, compared to the Cubs schedule, it's looking real good for them. But I could see a 3-3, 6 games in those 6. I mean, I think that's very plausible.
Yeah, you're right. The Cubs, are, I'm sorry, the Pirates going to Chicago won 2-3 against the Cubs and then went to Cincinnati and won 2-3. So
yeah.
That is a team that's shown some fight here down the stretch. They've all in all had a poor year, obviously, but a team that's got a little fight left. And I know Cubs fans out there will hope that continues as they finish out this season, hosting the Marlins in particular this upcoming weekend. You look at the D-backs who are tied. They're tied with the Cubs, right? With the same record in the wild card chase.
Yep.
There's three spots for the wild card, of course. Philly is all locked up. They're five games up. They should be good and have nothing to worry about. The Diamondbacks, they have the White Sox on the road, and then they host Houston, which is going to be a huge series for both of those teams. Houston not out of the chase to win the division, but also not secure in a playoff spot at all because Seattle is right on their heels. What do you think about what the D-backs have on their plate? I mean, Chicago, I'm not looking at the pitching matchups here. I don't know if there's one that would really terrify the D-backs. Is he still throwing or is he hurt? I don't
know. All I know is that the White Sox put Luis Robert on the IL today to end his season. Okay. So, I mean,
the White Sox are packing up shop.
Yeah, that's not one I'm holding out hope for. Just get one, White Sox. That's all I ask of you. If you can grab one from the D-backs, then there's a little bit of hope there because they do play Houston. That's a tough one there. And, yeah, it's just the problem is with all of these is the Cubs have no tiebreakers because they just failed on so many opportunities against these teams. Against the Reds and the D-backs, they failed this month. And against the Marlins early in the season, they lost some tight games there. So they have no tiebreakers. So when you look at the D-backs and the Cubs tied, if they end the season that way, the D-backs are going to get that spot, regardless if it's a three-team tiebreaker, a two-team tiebreaker. The Cubs lose all those. So the Cubs actually have to be a game better than the D-backs this week. And that is with the White Sox on tap for three there for Arizona and Luis Robert done for the year. I don't know how likely that is. I'm not holding my breath that that's going to happen.
Look at the Reds. They need some help. They're 2.5 back. They do have Cleveland, and then they play my Redbirds there in St. Louis. So in terms of matchups and opponents, two very winnable series for them, but it's not a team that's playing all that well. You mentioned that in the first segment there. They've had two home series last week where over the weekend they lost 2-3 to Pittsburgh, and prior to that they lost 2-3, albeit to the Twins, who are a playoff team as far as the best team there in the AL Central. But a Red squad that, you go back to the summer, they were hot. They were fun. They were putting up a bunch of runs. Ellie De La Cruz coming off of his debut, and he's a guy that's super inconsistent with the bat, strikes out all the time. And just in general, the Reds are on very thin ice. Hunter Green's going for them tonight. He's looked good since coming back. I think he had a 13K outing in his last.
Yeah, and they lost that game.
Did they really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He struck out, like, I saw a stat, like 29 in his last, like, 17 or 18 innings. But They need every they probably have to go 5-0 and then get some help here in their final five games.
Yeah, I think there's very little room for error for them for sure. I'm kind of my viewpoint going into the week here is that it's three teams for two spots, D-backs, Cubs, Marlins. I'm not really considering the Reds much of a threat. Maybe I should just because of that schedule, but baseball's baseball. They don't really have the pitching. I mean, Hunter Green's going to go once this week, but other than that, I think it's fairly likely. I mean, more than likely that the Reds are going to lose one of those five games, maybe more than that, probably more than that, the way that they've played. I think the Reds are going to need a miracle here. I'm treating it more as three for two spots with the Reds kind of lurking there if every team kind of collapses here ahead of them.
In terms of magic numbers, like we mentioned, the Braves are like four games up on the Dodgers. They need a couple of wins or a Dodgers loss or two. I don't think that the Brewers can't catch the Dodgers. So whoever is going to get the one seed, the other is going to get the two seed. Milwaukee doesn't have much to play for. I think their magic number is one for the NL Central. So they either need one win or one Cubs loss. I think that Milwaukee owns the tiebreaker over Cincinnati, so I don't even have to worry about that at this point. But the Phillies, pretty much secure.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to, although Milwaukee, I think, as far that's important as far as the Cubs are concerned, because Milwaukee being able to secure the division, not having a chance for the 2 seed or the 1 seed, in all likelihood, I mean, they're not going to have anything to theoretically play for this upcoming weekend against the Cubs. Now, I was looking at their probable starters.
That's it.
And they're going to throw Woodruff, Peralta, and Hauser, the first two obviously being pretty fearsome.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you'd hope that if they are secure as the 3 seed in the NL, they're the NL Central champs, they're going to celebrate on the field sometime these next 2 nights, probably tonight. And there's can't go up, can't go down. You're locked into that 3 seed. You're locked in as the NL Central champions. You'd hope and have to imagine that Craig Counsell would say, why are we going to – I mean, maybe in that first game on Friday, you pick the guy that you're lining up to start game 3 of a wild card series, but – I wouldn't think that they start 2 of those 3 guys this weekend with nothing to play for, knowing that you're going to have to play again. I think Tuesday is game 1 of the NL Wild Card Series, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe I think Wednesday. I could be wrong on that. I'll double check that. But I think
and that should
Tuesday,
be them hosting Philly, right?
It would be them hosting the last wild card team.
Oh, okay.
The
Cubs, yep.
D-backs or Marlins. Based
I don't know
on
why
that plays out.
I've gotten that wrong. Lon got it wrong trying to pinpoint the matchups.
Yeah. It's tough though, because they keep changing it like the last couple of years. But,
okay,
but so you'd have to imagine they're probably not going to start 2 of those 3 guys this weekend. Because you think about it, let's double check when that NL Wild Card Series starts. But if a guy starts on Saturday, then to get his normal rest, he wouldn't be able to pitch again until Thursday. So you'd kind of be screwing up your wild card rotation there. So I think it's probably unlikely that Freddy Peralta starts Saturday, assuming things go right for the Brewers, and that's the hope. And maybe they even rest a couple of their hitters too. Not that they have a ton of dangerous ones, but maybe Christian Yelich doesn't start all 3 this weekend. You know, that's kind of what I'm banking on.
You're right. It is Tuesday.
Yep.
Tuesday is when all 4 wild card games will take place. Game 2 will be on Wednesday, and game 3 will be on Thursday. So it's boom, boom, boom. Tuesday is the start of all 4 of those series. So, yes, I fully agree with you. Like, maybe throw Woodruff on Friday and save Peralta for the early part of that series there, both having Burns and Peralta on short, or I should say longer rests and not having to come off of short absence in terms of being able to get going in that series. Let's look at the AL real quick here. We have, like I mentioned, it's really the AL West is where you got to focus. Yep. Outside of that, is there much else to play for around baseball? I mean, Baltimore seems to have the top seed secured, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the AL West, and then it's what are the Blue Jays going to hang on to their spot? But you know, there you got a game and a half cushion. It's that AL West race is going to be fun, because you're going to, what's more than likely going to be the case is you're going to have a division champ there, and then you're going to have one other team that gets in. Now, right now, the Rangers and the Astros have the fast track to those 2 spots, having a cushion on the Mariners, who are a game and a half back of Houston, and I believe 3.5 back of Texas now. Texas has gotten a little hot here recently. I think they've won 6 in a row.
6 in a row, yep.
But yeah, that's really what it is. And then the Blue Jays kind of just making sure that they can get in as well. They got a game and a half cushion on Houston, and that would be a 3-game cushion on Seattle. So it's definitely not as intriguing as the NL, but I think that, yeah, it could get really interesting in that AL West race, especially if the Astros can get hot here. And then if the Mariners probably need a pretty perfect week, kind of like the Reds. They probably need to be pretty perfect this week, but they're still there as well, and they got probably the best pitching staff of anyone in that division. So it could be interesting there. I am much more fascinated by this NL race, obviously as a Cub fan, but I think the AL, I don't think it's – you look at it right now with Texas, it's Baltimore as the 1 seed far and away, 97-win team, Texas – leading the AL West as the 2 seed, Minnesota wins the AL Central as the 3 seed. Then you got Tampa as that first wild card seed, and that's going nowhere. Toronto and Houston as the 2nd and 3rd wild card teams. I think that's how it finishes. I don't think it's going to change. I don't think the Mariners get in.
Mariners losing last night, a big one. They had a pitching duel between Luis Castillo and Justin Verlander. Well, in terms of the matchup, it was. Houston got to Castillo a little bit. Verlander, I think, went 8 scoreless last night in a big win there on the road at Seattle. They'll have two more in Seattle, and then Houston goes to Arizona. Seattle will then turn around and host Texas. The Rangers currently are starting up a series against the Angels in LA, and it's, like you said, a team that's won 6 in a row. It's been a streaky and inconsistent Texas team, one that was really, really good through the first half of the season, and still a very talented lineup. I mean, you look around, you see Seager, you see Adolis Garcia, Josh Young, those guys. But losing Max Scherzer is something that, as you like project them in postseason series going forward, and the fact that DeGrom's not coming back, that those are big losses for Texas, like big picture. But right now, they're playing some good baseball. Houston's really let this thing slip, like losing 3 series in a row. 2 of those are the Royals, including getting swept at home last weekend. They put themselves in a bind with a challenging last week's schedule, but again, they did get off to a good start last night. Seattle was the hottest team in baseball. You go back to like August, but I was looking up their September record. They're 8-15.
Yeah.
In September. Yeah, swept by the
Very
Dodgers.
Cubs like from them.
Yeah, man. Swept by the Dodgers, swept by Texas, and dropping the opener to Houston. I mean, that's facing the top of the top, and so far they're failing that test. So we'll be interesting as it goes along.
Yeah, I'm surprised with Seattle how much they've fallen off offensively this year. I was a team that was so fun, had a pretty deep lineup last year. Obviously, Julio Rodriguez right out in front of that, and they had some other guys that were just stepping up. And this year, they just can't hit. I mean, they've got a really good starting pitching staff with some younger guys in there. You got Logan Gilbert and George Kirby and some of these other guys, but they haven't hit at all. They haven't hit at all this year. And it's like they're kind of, to me, have a lot of parallels to the Brewers, but just the pitching isn't quite as dominant as the Brewers has been. But it's a team that just hasn't hit consistently enough, and that's really kind of been their downfall.
We'll see how it all plays out this week and have some very meaningful baseball as we continue into the weekend, and a lot to play for, especially as Cubs fans sit on the edge of their seat to see if they will have a chair in the playoff picture going into next week as things begin on Tuesday. And that's going to be a really, really fun thing to watch. Atlanta tonight is the first stop.
All right, since we had a baseball segment, you may as well give your parting Cardinals thought of how glad you are this season is over.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, the season's been over for me for 2 months, 3 months. I honestly can't tell you the last time I watched a Cardinals game. I know that sounds bad. I know people are going to say, oh, you're a Fairweather fan, whatever. I mean, just have better things to do. I can go home, play with my son. I can watch. I've honestly, if I'm going to watch a baseball game, I'll flip on the Cubs, and I'd be far more interested to see a team that's playing for something. They're an entertaining team, but yeah, I'm ready for this Cardinals season to be over. I've been ready since the middle of the summer. The problem is I'm going to be super, super bummed out. I mean, already the fact that Mozeliak's come out and said Marmol's coming back, that until said otherwise assumes that both him and Mozeliak are coming back. So that's just,
how can you make no changes?
That makes no sense at all. Zero sense.
That's just, nothing frustrates me more than when you have a season like that and you refuse to change a single thing internally.
Yeah. Scott on the U of I Atlantic League text line, Cardinals don't matter, no accountability. I get the frustration. For me right now, I mean, I've already written off the Cardinals, and I was so excited to finally like, all right, let's dive into a Bears season that matters, and that's over already through 3 weeks. So I guess college basketball needs to hurry up and get here for me, although I'm enjoying college football, and I always love the NFL, whether the Bears – I've seen enough seasons of the Bears not mattering to learn how to appreciate the NFL without the Bears being in the picture. So that's kind of where I'm at. I'm ready for closure on the Cardinals season, I guess, even though I've already moved on and packed my bags. I'm out the door, but it is a little bit of a jarring feeling not having a fall of Cardinals baseball that matters, and then already feeling like my NFL team is dead because they 100% are.
Quick Cardinals offseason wish list to try and turn this thing around. I don't need names. I just need moves.
two starters at the top of the rotation, probably. I think that's where it begins.
Yep.
And then I'm trying to think what else is reasonable. I know that they're not going to, they're traditionally not like crazy spenders.
I think you probably got to, just from my perspective, you got to explore trading a bat for an arm. And, you know, don't just bank on the free agent, on spending free agency. Maybe get creative with a trade with some of that.
I agree.
Depth you have in the position player department.
No, that's a great point. I mean, we heard a lot of chatter and buzz, and I don't know how close it was to actually happening, but like the Cardinals in Seattle were linked a lot because Seattle, like you said, probably has the deepest rotation out there, and the Cardinals have a number of position players. They could package some type of, I don't know, some assortment of like a Tommy Edman, a Brendan Donovan, a Lars Nootbaar, like Tyler O'Neill. I'm sure they don't want him back. I don't know who wants Tyler O'Neill, but something of that in that realm. And you might have to throw in a prospect in there depending on which type of pitcher you're wanting. I mean, if you want Bryce Miller, you're probably going to have to dip into – are you going to have to give – I don't know if you have to give up Mason Wynn, but you'd have to give up something to really entice them on that front. But I'd be fine with giving up someone, whether it's of a prospect, if it's a high enough caliber pitcher, if you're going to trade Mason Wynn, I'd be interested in that. I know a lot of people are excited for what he's going to look like. In addition, you bring him up with – I mean, he's had a couple of – he's had a handful of at-bats or appearances now being up on the big league club, but – with Jordan Walker and whatnot. I hope that the lineup will be able to be, I won't say an easy fix, but a reasonable ask. Like going in, you're still going to have Goldschmidt. You're still going to have Arenado. Contreras, if he hits like he did the last month or two of the season. Jordan Walker having a season of experience under his belt. Like there are pieces there to put together a good lineup. I just think it starts 100% with the top end of the rotation. I wonder how reasonable that is to go out there and get like two top end of the other rotation kind of guys.
How many guys in this current Cardinals rotation do you think will be in the 2024 opening day rotation? Over, under, 1.5?
Michaelis is the one, the easy one to say. I think if someone was, if we were asking a Cardinals beat reporter out there, they'd probably say, hey, you know, don't, Steven Matz is probably going to get another chance just because of the money and the contract. I'm not super excited about that. Dakota, the answers of filling in the blank with Cardinals names, like am I supposed to believe that Matthew Liberatore is going to be ready next year? I've lost a lot of faith in what he's going to be ultimately on that trade, which is, as I've mentioned before, it's really depressing when in the same draft, the Rays took Liberatore and Shane McClanahan, like both high in that draft, and they kept McClanahan and dished Liberatore when they got Randy Arozarena. And obviously, the Cardinals, if it was a choice to make, chose the wrong one. But if you're asking me, I say as little as possible, probably outside of Miles, even though Miles has been really bad this year. But you've already paid him the money and have already committed to him being in that rotation. So that's kind of my roundabout thoughts of the Cardinals. I've kind of put them out of my mind for a while, which, you know, it's not bad. It's always fun to go into off-season mode and try to rebuild and think, you know, here's the free agents, here are possible trades. And yeah, Kyle, like once this regular season is officially done, then maybe now I can dive all the way back into that. I'm going to need something with the Bears not occupying my time on Sundays.
Yeah, well, I wish I could feel for you there with my NFL team, but I'm having a lot of fun.
Scott says you should. Scott says it's time to pick a AFC team. Everything is a dumpster fire. I'll pick the.
I'm accepting. The Dolphins are accepting some bandwagon riders, but only for a limited time. So you can jump on now, but. They close after like week 5. Like we can't be accepting, can't accept them forever. But I'll accept some bandwagon Dolphins fans if you want to join the party.
Kyle's being a bouncer at the door, and he's only letting his buddies in, and he's charging ridiculous amount of cover to everybody else. I understand. You've ridden it out for a number of years, and if the tables were turned, And Justin Fields was doing what Tua was doing. And they had the weapons. They had the coach and everything, which isn't that what I go to bed dreaming about. Yeah, I'd be doing the same thing if everybody was trying to jump on. I'm like, no. I've gone through too much pain. Just let anybody just join this high ride with me. Although, Kyle, I can show you my resume, how much I've suffered. I think that I deserve it.
I saw your tweet this weekend, being an Illinois football and Chicago Bears fan for the last 30 years.
For 30 years, I've watched Illinois on Saturdays and Bears on Sundays. And
it's not a good way to live.
It's not. And there have been bright spots for both sides here and there. Not nearly enough. The Illini with Kittner and 01 and Jay and company in 07. And last year was a fun ride. You know, eight win team that had meaningful football, had a Big Ten West to play for. And I think that was a great step forward. I'm not knocking that tweet. And I even thought about it a little bit going into the weekend. I'm like, I hope. Not that I'm going to sit here and be like, yeah, I'm sure Brett Bielema reads my tweets or anything, but I didn't want to rub anybody the wrong way and make it seem like I'm writing off what Bielema and company in this 10 years doing for Illinois. I'm not saying that, but kind of if you zoom out, the big picture of it is Illinois football has not been a good program on the whole over my lifetime for the most part. And that was ugly football to watch on Saturday. They've underachieved. They've been disappointing so far this year. We talked about that yesterday. And then the Bears, they speak for themselves. They're one of the biggest messes of an organization in pro sports right now. I mean, that over the last decade plus, you would probably have put – a lot of times you'd put the Knicks in there. The Knicks have made a playoff series. More recently, the Bears have been in the playoffs, I believe. I know that for a fact. The Sacramento Kings have long been thought of a joke of an organization. I mean, the Oakland A's right now, whatever the heck they're put on the field. The Pirates, you can – put a handful of teams out there, but the Bears have to be in that because they're just a terribly, terribly run organization. They've made terrible decisions over and over again, and I don't see signs of it getting better. And it's watching that unfold and seeing how many. I mean, the Bears almost score. What were there more of, Kyle? And this is going to transition us because I want to talk about NFL in the next hour. Were there more Bears points or Taylor Swift references during the broadcast?
Taylor Swift references by a long shot.
Come on, man. What the heck?
I knew as soon as, because I was watching some of that game and they popped that Taylor Swift was there. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. 3 hours of this. I mean, it's.
I understand.
I understand it too, but it's
annoying.
Like.
Annoying.
You could see it coming where it's every single time the Chiefs get a first down or Travis Kelce touches the football. Here's the camera view from the suite. And, oh boy.
I just don't know why, how come on Twitter, people that tweet, you know, NFL news, breaking stuff, you know, injury report, trades, rumors, whatever, that, it was, sources are saying that Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift have been, quote unquote, texting this week. who cares? I know. Why do I care about that? I don't know.
I don't.
He's not the only dude out
apparently
there that
millions of people do.
Dated a superstar in another profession or a pop star. I don't know.
I didn't believe it at first though. You see all these rumors of all this stuff that TMZ reports this or NFL updates or whatever the heck it is. And I was just brushed it off as oh, here's another thing that's just spreading through Twitter for no reason. Then, they show it during the game on Sunday. I'm like, oh, okay. I still don't care, but at least it's true.
It's true. Good for him. I mean, that's a good.
Yeah, he's Travis Kelce. He's been
winning,
living some good years here recently. You could say Patrick Mahomes is his quarterback. 2 Super Bowl rings. Taylor Swift's his girlfriend.
Do you buy the? Is it just a joke or is it reality? Where everybody on Twitter is saying the loser in this is Brittany Mahomes because she's not going to get the attention.
I don't want to get into that. God dang!
I did set you up for failure there. Not really, because everybody has the same kind of opinion on her, but anyways,
I concur with the general public on that topic.
There you go. That's a very political and good way to approach it. That's a pros move. All right, we got a lot of people weighing in on the text line, mostly about Taylor Swift and that no one really
see how
really
that
cares.
Works though.
Yeah, I know, right? We talk 40 solid minutes of baseball and breaking it down, and then we get a little off the beaten path, and there you have it. Let's talk some NFL.
Do it.
That's something that I'll be looking forward to diving into. And then before we get out of here, we'll hear from Aaron Henry and also Barry Lenny Jr., their thoughts on Saturday's performance and what lies ahead for the Illini going into West Lafayette. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Atta Durakan with First.